The First Testament lesson comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. We are in chapter 7, verses 15 through 18. Let us listen to God's word. In my vein of life, I have seen everything. There are righteous people who perish in their righteousness, and there are wicked people who prolong their life in their evil doing. Do not be too righteous and do not act too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be too wicked and do not be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you should take hold of the one without letting go of the other, for the one who fears God shall succeed with both. The word of the Lord.
We continue in our study of the Beatitudes. This week we are looking at the last two together because they are linked by a similar theme. And then the next 2 weeks before Advent, we will be looking at what it means to be salt and light to the world. So let us listen to the word of the Lord. It comes from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The word of the Lord. One of the things I had to do for my seminary degree was spend a year at a congregation. And Cindy and I were fortunate enough to spend it at First Presbyterian Church of Houston, Texas, because that meant we were close to my parents and my family. And it had been a great experience. They were short-staffed, and so I was doing lots of things normal interns don't get to do. They liked me, I liked them. There was discussion about whether or not I might come back after graduation and become an associate pastor there, which would have been fine with me because they paid well and they gave you loans to buy a house, and I thought, wow, this would be great. But then there was the meeting. It was a meeting with staff and a staffing company. The church had long had custodial employees, and they decided that rather than having these people as employees, they would have them. They wanted instead to have a service that they could simply turn everything over to. And in this meeting, the person from the staffing service said, "Well, we know you want to keep your employees, so here's what we recommend you do. The day we take over as a staffing company, you tell your employees either they work for us or they don't have a job. Either they sign up with us today or they are laid off." And to me, that didn't sound quite right, so I said, "Excuse me, somehow, shouldn't we let them have a choice, let them know so they can think about their options?" And the staffing company person said, "No, because if they have a choice, they'll go out and find another job, and we want them to stay here." And not being willing or able to keep my mouth shut, I said, "But somehow that just doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem ethical. They should have a choice." And in that moment, the senior pastor's voice rose up. And he told me to quit talking, to know my place, that I didn't understand business and I didn't understand the way things ought to be. And though they were plenty nice to me the rest of the time I was there at First Presbyterian Church, I understood clearly I was not coming back. That whatever hopes and dreams I had about being an associate there, yeah, well, they ended in that meeting. And I have to admit that over the years, occasionally I thought, how would life have been different if I had listened to the writer of Ecclesiastes and become a Goldilocks. Now, you may be wondering, well, what's a Goldilocks? Chances are you all know the story, right? Goldilocks is this young woman who is guilty of breaking and entering into the house of the three bears. And she's someone who doesn't like things too hot or too cold, too hard or too soft. The Goldilocks is someone who just likes that middle road, that middle way. And that's what the writer of Ecclesiastes is telling us to be, that we are to be middle of the road God followers. We're not to be too hard or too soft. And Cindy said a minute ago, she'd never heard this passage before, and I've never preached on it before, but listen again. Don't be too righteous or too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Don't be too wicked. Don't be a fool. Why should you die before your time? Hold on to both of those things and plow the middle road. Be a Goldilocks. And the question is, why? Well, the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us it's because it's safe. It is safe to plow that middle road and not be too righteous or too evil. And I say that because systems, and I'll explain that in a minute, systems don't like outliers. And by systems, I mean everything from families to businesses to churches to schools to civic organizations to entire societies. Because all of these systems operate on something that looks like the bell curve. You all remember the bell curve from school? You know, you sort of have a little here, and then most everybody's in the middle, and then you have people. So you kind of have a few people with A's and a few people with F's, and everybody else is sort of in the unwashed middle. And that's the way societies are. They want everyone to sort of be in that unwashed middle where you're willing to accept a certain amount of dysfunction, a certain amount of good, and a certain amount of evil. But if you're the outlier on either ends, you get into trouble. Now, again, you may say, well, John, we understand why if you're an outlier on the evil end, okay? We understand why you would be punished and persecuted, why that wouldn't be good. But why would someone on the other end of the bell curve, why would someone there on the righteous end be punished and persecuted? Well, the answer is because those who are out on this end, this righteous end of the bell curve, they are the ones who tell uncomfortable truths. They are the ones who speak out. They are the ones who hold people accountable to what society claims we're supposed to be, or an organization claims they're supposed to be, and isn't, and aren't. And people don't like those uncomfortable questions. People don't like someone pointing out where we're not living up to what we say we should be, and instead we plow the middle road instead of being righteous. And when people do that, they get punished and persecuted. And I say this not based on my experience at First Church, which is trivial but interesting. I say it because of the stories that you all have told me and members of my former church have told me. People have told me tales of having been working for a company and found financial malfeasance. Someone's cooking the books, and they went to the head of the company and said, "Look, this is happening." And instead of being thanked, they got fired. No one wanted to really know the truth. I know of people who have stood up for people and students, whether it is parents or employees, who've stood up for students and children with disabilities, asking for, demanding the services that they're legally entitled to, and they're punished for it. They are dismissed. They are criticized. I've heard stories of people who worked in an environment where there was abuse, verbal abuse, sexual innuendo, things that are supposedly totally unacceptable within the company. And as soon as they complained, they were oppressed and many were fired. People don't like those who are out on the righteous end of the bell curve because we disrupt this equilibrium, this middle ground of the system. So why should we do it? Why shouldn't we just be Goldilocks? Why shouldn't we just listen to the writer of Ecclesiastes? The reason is because as God followers, as Jesus followers, we are called to be the righteous. That's what these last two Beatitudes are all about. They are all about us being the righteous. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. And I can hear some of your stories, and this is where you are on my account. Because Jesus was the one who called us to be the righteous. And the righteous, what it means here, are those who speak up for those on the margins, who speak up for those who have no voice, who have no power. They are the ones that the prophets called us to protect, the widows and the orphan, the sojourner, the stranger, the foreigner. That's what it means to be righteous. It means to speak up and act up for those who cannot speak up and act for themselves. It is to live on that far end of the bell curve, whether it is at work or at school or in society or in the church. And what Jesus says is there's wonderful news waiting for us if we are willing to be those righteous ones. But before I tell you what that wonderful news is, I have to make a confession on the part of the church. And that is, the church has not always lived on that far end of the bell curve. That far too often the church has lived in the way of Goldilocks. And for me, one of the most disturbing and sort of unnerving comments on that comes from the words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in his letter to the Birmingham jail. It's their words that make me feel uncomfortable. So if they make you feel uncomfortable when I read them in a moment, know that they make me feel uncomfortable too. But just a bit of background. King had come to Birmingham, Alabama, not Michigan, to lead nonviolent actions trying to get rid of segregation, segregated lunch counters and water fountains and schools, and to somehow allow blacks in that city to have all the rights of whites. And he was thrown in jail along with many of the other leaders. And while he was in jail, leading white clergy wrote this letter to him saying, "You shouldn't be here. The time is not right to do this. Give us some more time. We'll get there eventually." And these were Presbyterians and Baptists and leaders, rabbis in the synagogues. And King writes this amazing letter back to them. And what I'm going to read you is just a short portion of his letter. And as I said, it makes me uncomfortable every time I read it, but here goes. I must make two honest confessions to you, my Christian and Jewish brothers. First, I must confess that over the last few years, I have grown gravely disappointed with the white moderate. I've almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in the stride toward freedom is not the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate, who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, I agree with the goals you seek, but can't agree with your methods of direct action, who paternalistically feels that he can set the timetable for another man's freedom, who lives by the myth of time, and who constantly advises the Negro to wait until a more convenient season. Shallow understanding from people of goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. Lukewarm acceptance is much more bewildering than outright rejection. What King was doing was calling the church out then and now that we need to re-examine ourselves. We need to ask if we are being Goldilocks, walking simply that middle road because it is safe, or whether we are willing to step to the far end of the bell curve to seek righteousness and justice. And I know it's difficult, I know it's not popular, I know it can be dangerous, and yet there is wonderful news. And the wonderful news is that we get to be part of the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this doesn't just mean that somehow it's our passport to heaven. Oh, look, I have a passport that says I was one of the righteous, so I get in. No, the kingdom of heaven is something that happens here in this world. It is having God's will done on earth like it is in heaven. And what that means is if we are willing to be the righteous, if we are willing to step out on this end of the bell curve, then what we do is we help to create a world and a church and a culture and a society that looks much more like the kingdom of heaven than there has been before. We get to be part of this amazing new world in which all people share in the benefits of society and the benefits of culture, in which all people, regardless of any earthly condition, get to find themselves as part of God's beloved community. That is the wonderful news. And in fact, even though it's difficult, Jesus says we should leap for joy. That's literally what the Greek means, that when people say evil against us, we should leap for joy, because it means we are out here creating heaven on earth. And so my challenge for all of us for this week is this: to ask ourselves this question. Where am I on the bell curve of justice? Am I in the middle taking the safe way? Or am I willing to step out on the far end and risk everything for the righteousness of God? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you call us to be the righteous. You challenge us to be the righteous. Help us to be willing to step out in an act of pure faith and do what is right. In Christ's name, amen.